From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, February 16th, 2018. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Representatives of solar company Cypress Creek Renewables made the company's case for a hardship waiver to the Coxsackie Town Board on February 13th. The temporary ban suspends processing of applications and issuing of permits, certificates of occupancy, and approvals of certain land uses related to solar energy systems and farms. Established in November, the moratorium is intended to give solar companies the opportunity to come forward if they are experiencing financial hardship, Coxsackie Town Supervisor Richard Hunt said. Cypress Creek applied to build a 2-megawatt, 15-acre facility on Murders Kill Road in June after a solar code was established in the town. The company has since spent more than $500,000 in non-refundable interconnection payments, surveys, engineering, and environmental studies. Project attorney Thomas Putschner said, and I quote, "You have a moratorium that puts that in jeopardy. If Cypress doesn't have certainty that they have a path forward, they'll have to cancel the project, and all that is lost," end quote. "The company has demonstrated extraordinary hardship, and the waiver should be granted," Putschner said. Supervisor Hahn said, and I quote, "All five of us are searching our souls and researching the information to see if we believe that they prove their case of hardship," end quote. A determination on Cypress Creek's waiver request is expected within 15 days. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Don Moore is reporting for the Columbia paper. The seven candidates in the 19th congressional district race, including GOP incumbent John Faso, have raised a combined total of $6 million in campaign contributions to date. Antonio Delgado, Brian Flynn, Pat Ryan, David Clegg, Gareth Rhodes, and Jeff Beals are all competing in the June 26 primary in the hopes of unseating Faso in the general election November 6. Diane Neal, a registered Democrat, also recently announced her intention to run as an independent. According to data from the Federal Elections Commission, Delgado has raised $1.5 million to date, followed by Flynn, $1.3 million, Ryan, $907,000, Clegg, $486,000, Rhodes, $450,000, and Beals, $174,000. Faso has raised a total of $1.2 million so far. The Democratic congressional candidates have relied almost entirely on individual contributions. The district includes all of Columbia and Greene counties and nine other counties located in the Hudson Valley and Catskills. And you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting the Port of Authority Board voted on February 15th to change the name of Stewart International Airport and approve spending $30 million for a new international arrivals inspection station as well. No decision was announced about what the facility's new name will be, but officials have said they favor New York International at Stewart's Field. Huntley Lawrence, director of the Port Authority's Aviation Division, said only the name change will retain the local flavor. The $30 million appropriation will be used for the creation of a 20,000-square-foot federal inspection station at the north end of the passenger terminal. The station is expected to be ready for use by 2020. Stewart is owned by the state but is run by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And you can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And finally, Rick Carlin is reporting for Capital Confidential. Two state lawmakers have proposed a bill that would prevent school officials from being able to censor student newspapers. The bill would allow school administrators to review and censor items that are potentially libelous, an invasion of privacy, or incite students to break the law, violate school policies, or disrupt the school. The proposed measure comes out of a national push to ensure First Amendment rights for high school and college journalists enrolled in both private and public schools. Censorship cases involving New York student papers are rare, but not unheard of. In one case, two assembly members got involved after a dispute over whether a student news Instagram account at the Corning Painted Post High School should have been covering preparations for a protest march prior to President Donald Trump's inauguration in January 2017. And you can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Today is day three of the WGXE Winter 2018 Radio Magic Pledge Drive. During the coming days, WGXE programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $15,000 to keep WGXE hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting showers likely before 8 a.m. today. Patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, it will be cloudy. Temperatures falling to 37 degrees by 5 p.m. On Friday night, isolated snow showers before 2 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low around 19. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 34 degrees. Saturday night, snow is likely. It'll be cloudy with a low around 25 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 42 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Sunrise today was at 6:50 a.m. and the sun will set at 5:28 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 37 minutes of daylight. 2 minutes and 43 seconds more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 16th day of February 2018. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.